An intense day yesterday for Venezuela. Will Juan Guaido be a martyr or the president? We'll talk about it on today's Hot Zone.
Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, I was down in Colombia filming for next week's Hot Zone podcast, and all of a sudden everything blew up, and well, obviously there's been some major developments in Venezuela, so I moved that podcast up to this, to today, and the one that we had for today is going to have to go for tomorrow, but that's okay, because there's some amazing things going on in Cucuta along the border, and obviously in Venezuela. So as of right this moment, we don't know if Juan Guaido is going to be successful with this uprising. Heavily armed troops that are now loyal to Juan Guaido, claiming loyalty to the new president, that took up fighting positions on an overpass this morning. And they are, well, there were big gunfights in Venezuela once that happened. Protesters were run over. And Twitter was blowing up with homemade videos up until the moment when Nicolas Maduro shut off the internet in Venezuela. So I spent the weekend talking to some troops, some Venezuelan troops, who were living in Cucuta that defected back in February. And while I was there, I filmed this podcast. And so it's still very relevant. Check it out. So I'm back in Cucuta, and we're down here at they call it the Parada, the bus stop that's right at the end of the road before you get to the bridge that crosses into Venezuela. Every time I'm here, things are different. And this time, there's more people. There's a ton of people coming out here, so much so that the police, I'm told, have started to kick people out and tell them to go back to Venezuela because there's just too many people here, and they just can't support that many people in this area. The people who are here, obviously very desperate, just like before, and they want to, find a way to better their situation. But in reality, basically what life looks like here is they go and they stand for several hours in line to get a meal, and they'll do that once or twice a day. That takes up most of the day, just standing in line. And then a lot of people work as trocheros, which is porters carrying other people's merchandise across the river and into Venezuela. But we have met with a family the first time that I came down. No, not the first time, but I don't know, a couple trips ago. We met with a family that had 9 children that were down here sleeping on the street. And you might recall, we had them in the podcast. We talked about them sleeping on the street down here. Well, I went and found some of them, and one of the girls, also named Wendy, was pregnant at the time, and now she's just about to give birth. And actually, tomorrow, she says, she's going to go to the hospital and give birth. So I'm trying to decide what to do about that. The problem is she has her baby's father there, or her husband. He is a trochero, so he's making money. He's working, carrying merchandise. And I don't want to steal that guy's dignity by just stepping in here and like giving her a bunch of money or helping her out or whatever. But at the same time, she's sleeping on the street. She's 9 months pregnant. She's already having labor pains, and she's planning to sleep on the street tonight and then walk about 6 miles to the hospital tomorrow. And obviously that's not cool. So what's the best thing to do for her? Can I get her some money to take a taxi? But again, if I do that, am I essentially taking dignity away? Am I insulting her husband who isn't able to provide for her? He obviously is a very proud man. I talked to him a little bit. He doesn't seem especially excited about me being there and even talking to his wife. So I get it, but what's the right thing to do here? These are the kinds of situations that we just face over and over again. And we're seeing in spades in this area. I just want to turn the camera around and show you what I'm seeing here. So this is the corner, the street corner here. is what daily life is here. What I'm struck by is just how many children and babies there are. Right over here, there's a lady with several children. There's a guy over there carrying his baby down the street. There's a woman there with babies. There's just babies everywhere. I want to show you, we went down and talked to that pregnant woman, and I want to show you what that was like. So we've got three pregnant girls here, 21, 23, and 15 years old. And they're living on the street. They sleep right here where we're sitting. And this one's planning to give birth tomorrow. And fortunately, she can go to the hospital here in Cucuta. We've been to that hospital and visited that hospital. And she can get free care there to have her baby, although it's, you know, not super great, but it's free. So I just want to pray for them and ask God to protect them and take care of them. So vamos a orar.
Dios Padre Santo, te damos gracias por estas vidas nuevas que están aquí hechos en la barriga de estas mujeres. Te pedimos, Padre, a proteger los bebés, proteger las mamás y protegerlas en su parto mientras que dan la luz y en su recuperación después. Te pedimos por niños santos y niños sanos también. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Okay. She's that's great. Muy bien. Excelente. Okay.
Están echando leche.
Estás echando leche.
Sí, por
eso. So, right back here is the area where I was attacked 3 weeks ago. And we just went back in there again to kind of check it out. And we're immediately stopped by a couple of Colombian police down there. Apparently, this area has gotten quite a bit more dangerous since we were here last. What the police told us is that the colectivos on the other side have brought more people down and they're more brutal to the people crossing here. They also told us that those colectivos, those same guys, murdered a guy the other day, just about a week ago, and threw his body over onto the Colombian side. They warned us to get out of there, told us that it was extremely dangerous down there for journalists especially, and that they've had several other journalists that have been attacked in the same place since I was attacked about 3 weeks ago.
Basically, my name is Carlos Da Silva. I'm Venezuelan, but I've been living in England for 27 years. And basically, I've come back to Venezuela to take out new documents. And it's been merely impossible because the government is just, like, basically, there's a government, but it's useless, it's worthless. Their system doesn't work, nothing works there. They've got people starving over there and everything. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know what that President Maduro is doing. At the end of the day, he's just stealing, basically stealing the money, whatever. I don't know the petrol, what he's doing with it. It's pretty bad over there. Yeah.
So you're basically stuck.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
Tell me about that.
No, I'm pretty much stuck. I'm stuck, but anyway, I've made it to Colombia, so I'm not that stuck. So I got out of Colombia. Venezuela, so I'm here in Colombia. I'm trying to sort myself out here, really. I've rented a little room there with my missus. Hopefully we can find a job because I've been there since Tuesday, and I still ain't found a job. I don't know what's happening here because the Colombians don't want to give jobs to no one. That's what's apparently happening to the Venezuelans. I don't know, because of the trouble that the president's caused of everyone. I think that's what it is. So,
well, it's also because there are now more Venezuelans in Cucuta than there are.
Yeah, that is very true.
Aren't any jobs.
No,
for
there ain't.
Many people.
No.
Your best bet would be to go to somewhere else. Have you thought about that?
Of course. Yeah, that's exactly what I've been thinking about.
What's your hope? What are you hoping to do now?
I mean, no, I'm hoping to, obviously, I need to get in contact with my brother. Obviously, I spoke to one of them. He's going to send me some money from England. And to contact the other one. And my mother as well, she needs to find out what's happening. So hopefully, if they can help me out, I've got enough money to get out of here, basically, to keep it moving. But anyway, my plan is, so obviously, I'd rather spend my time in Colombia than spend it in Venezuela where people, I'd rather be here than suffer over there.
All right, folks, so you might remember Catherine, that we helped out on an earlier podcast here in Cucuta. And this is Aranza, her little baby, and Jonathan. This is the big man, right? This is the big man. Yeah, he's gay. He's ticklish. So you guys were generous enough to try to help Catherine
get out of the lifestyle she was in, which was working as a porter, having to carry stuff across the border. I mean, we're talking hundreds of pounds, carrying it on her back. She had to leave these two kids just to play out here in the street with, you know, nobody to watch them while she was working. And if she went to the food center to try to get a meal, she'd have to give up so much income that, so basically she was going without eating, and she was doing this dangerous crossing of the border as a porter every day and leaving the kids out here on the street. Little Alanza has an arm that's kind of paralyzed, and so she's been trying to get money for the medical care to get the tests that she needs for her daughter. And you all helped out with that. So thank you. I want you to know that the money that we sent to her, she has used to buy a bunch of merchandise now, and she has set up a little like a kiosk where she sells merchandise here so she can stay here with her babies and she can make more money and without the physical labor that this woman was having to do. And you guys were responsible for that, so thank you very much. She's going to go back into Venezuela for a couple of days to try to get a test for her baby that she thinks she can get in Barquisimeto, which is a little ways away in Venezuela. Try to get that test done and get maybe some idea of what's causing this problem with her baby's arm. So we want to continue to follow her and to help out where we can. And, you know, this is the whole point of doing this. We had a lot of pushback with Catherine. As I posted that on social media, there were a lot of people that came on and said, why are we helping this Venezuelan woman when there's hungry people in the United States? And my point here is that people like Catherine don't need to go to the United States if we can help them improve their lives here. And it's much, much cheaper for us to help them here than it would be for us to help them in the United States. Obviously, with the immigration problems the United States is having, anything we can do to keep people from feeling like they need to go to the U.S. is going to be good for America and good for these people, and obviously much safer for her and for her children than making that long journey. So it's a win-win situation. And for those of you who opened your hearts to the Venezuelan people, I just want you to know that it's working. It's working in Catherine's life. So we're going to help send Catherine and her kids back into Venezuela for a couple of days so that she can get the tests that she needs. She can get them there because she knows somebody who can help her get them. She could get them here, but she'd have to pay for them. There she can get them for free because she knows the person that does the test and they can sneak her in. So this is interesting. The bus fare for her to get from here to Barquisimeto. ¿Cuántas horas de aquí a Barquisimeto? So it's an 8-hour bus ride for her to get in there to Barquisimeto to get this done. The bus fare is about 27,000 Venezuelan bolivars. When I was here about 2 weeks ago, that would have been about $10 worth of Venezuelan bolivars at the exchange rate at that time. The hyperinflation has affected this. It's just going worse, getting worse and worse all the time. So if I was paying in dollars now, it's about $5. So in 2 weeks, the value of Venezuelan currency has been cut in half. And that's absolutely mind-boggling because anybody that's got Venezuelan currency is seeing the value, the buying power of their money drop by half every 2 weeks. There's no way that that can continue. There's no way people can survive with that kind of hyperinflation. But it's good for us because it's cheaper for us to help her get to the border. Mira ella. And so I'm gonna give her what she needs to get there. Pero solo tengo peso colombiano o mejor dólares. Dólares mejor. Okay. Déjeme darte por como 20. So I'm going to give her $20 in U.S. dollars, and that way she'll be protected from that hyperinflation as she, you know, has to go into Venezuela and come back out.
She's been able now to rent a room, so she's not having to sleep on the street anymore. And so she's got a place off the street for her babies. And it really feels good to be able to at least change one life. Well, there's 500,000 people here that have desperate need. We can't help them all, but we just help the ones that God puts in front of us. And you're a part of that. So thanks for being a part of the Hot Zone.
So the bottom line is that while things are not getting any better in Venezuela, they're getting worse. I mean, the average salary, monthly salary in Venezuela, when I was here 2 weeks ago, was about $3 or $4 a month. Because of the hyperinflation, now that's down to about $1.50 a month. And it's to the point where it's just ridiculous. I mean, there's no possible way you can survive on, even if you have a job in Venezuela. And so it's gonna come to a head. Something's gotta happen, or these people are just all gonna die. And so keep praying for Venezuela. Keep praying for us as we go around here and try to face these situations and make decisions like, how do you help these people? And thank you for joining with us and helping, sending money, supporting the podcast, subscribing at patreon.com/hotzone, and liking and sharing the podcast wherever you can, wherever you watch it. So we'll see you again tomorrow. I'm Chuck Holton.